Okay, today I'm preaching on the gospel reading from Luke chapter 17. As we prepare to hear God's word, let's pray. God, thank you for your many blessings for us. Please help us to live lives of gratitude and to recognize the good things that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, it's like there's no one left. That's cool. No, we're out. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, today I want to look at this very famous passage of Luke 17, of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. And I want to look at it from the point of view of private faith and public thanksgiving. And I'd like to suggest to you that there are two really countercultural practices for our culture that we find here in Luke chapter 17. The first one is asking for help. And you may know something of the background of diseases that might be similar to leprosy in ancient Israel, but the people who had leprosy or a skin condition that could be infectious were actually cut off from their community. They had to live outside of the city. If they ever came near anyone, and if you can imagine how incredibly isolating this would be, think about this. They had to ring a bell so that people could hear them coming, and they had to shout, unclean, unclean, so that people wouldn't get too close and perhaps contract the condition that they were suffering from. So it was incredibly isolating. It was incredibly shameful, and there was apparently no cure. So these 10 men who are suffering from leprosy or a skin condition were desperate. They had nothing that they could do to help or to save themselves. And maybe they had heard the story from the Old Testament that Sylvia read out to us just before. Maybe they'd heard that in the Old Testament, God had healed Naaman the Syrian of leprosy. But they came to Jesus and they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, for those of us who have grown up in the church or had a Christian background, that phrase, have mercy on us, might be very familiar to us. But what the men are asking for is not forgiveness, but actual practical help. So if there was a beggar on the street in that time, and someone was passing by who looked like they might have money to share with them, the beggar would say, Sir, have mercy on me. It's a cry for help, a cry for practical help, not for forgiveness. How countercultural is it to ask for help? Don't most of us, and feel free to answer me here, but I think don't most of us want to try and make it on our own? Don't we want to try and be independent and show that we can do it and that we don't necessarily need someone else's help? I think I've talked with a few people in our congregation who say it's actually really hard to ask for help because, I don't know, maybe there's a shame factor there that we think we should be able to do it on our own and we can't. What are some of the reasons that you find it difficult to ask for help? And that's a genuine question. I'm throwing it out to you for feedback conversation. Why is it hard to ask for help, Sylv?
They might not have the answers you're looking for.
Okay, so maybe you won't get the result that you want. Yeah, Jess?
I think in this society, everyone's so busy, so I feel guilty asking people for help because I know sometimes it's hard because of the time.
Okay, so there's a guilt thing about taking up someone else's time or resources. Yeah?
Some people doesn't want their secrets to be known.
Ah, you have to be pretty vulnerable, don't you, to ask for help, actually. And so people don't want their secret or their private life to be known. Sure, James?
Pride.
Pride? Yep.
Because sometimes you don't realize your past. Some of that
Sure. Yep. Little problems. I think I can handle this. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm really not okay. I'm like that, by the way. I'm one of those people who goes, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm really not okay. The truth is that really we only ask for help when we've come to the end of our own resources. And that's what had happened with the 10 lepers. But are we not like them? Not physically, but spiritually. It's very unfashionable to talk about sin and the fact that before God, we're actually all in need of help. We all have a sickness that isolates us from God and from others and doesn't let us access God's holiness, and it destroys our relationships, and that sickness is called sin. And ultimately, like for these men, it ends in death. And it's only when we realize that actually in a spiritual sense, I have nothing to offer and I need help, that we become willing to come to Jesus. This Bible story, this is a little tangent, but this Bible story is part of the source of a very famous prayer called the Jesus Prayer. It's one of the simplest prayers in the world, but it's been used in the Orthodox Church for thousands of years, and it goes like this. It's also known as the Breath Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the way that you pray that prayer is repetitively with your breath. So you breathe in on Lord Jesus Christ, out on Son of God, in on have mercy on me, and out on a sinner. And you can pray that prayer anywhere, under your breath. You don't have to pray it aloud. I find that it's a very powerful spiritual tool to remind me of the presence of Jesus and the help that God gives me. And I encourage you to try taking up that practice. You can do it on the train, you can do it in the car when you're in the middle of traffic, or if something is bugging you about your kids or whatever. It's recognizing that Jesus is the one who can help us. So asking for help is the first countercultural action that we encounter in this passage. Jesus, of course, does help the men. He heals them. He says, go and show yourselves to the priests, which was the religious duty of someone with leprosy, if they had been healed or cleansed, to make sure that they were whole again, that they could rejoin society. So as they go, they can see that their skin and their limbs are actually made whole. So Jesus has healed them. And likewise, Jesus heals and saves and forgives us. In fact, the very reason that Jesus has come into the world is to save us from sin, to heal us from the destructive power of the things that break us away from God and from each other. Jesus has come to give you healing, to reconnect you with God, and to reintegrate you into community, to overcome all of the barriers that get put up between God and people. And there's two responses here, aren't there? The first one is to keep it to yourself. And you know what? I think in Australia today that this is the default response of people to religious faith. It's like a private faith. It's fine for you to believe something. It's great for you to be a Christian as long as you keep it to yourself. All right. The unwritten rule is that you never speak out about the faith that you have. So in Australia, we've taken it from personal, which is true. Faith is a deeply personal thing, but to private, i.e. something that should not be shared. And that's actually what the first 10 men do. Woohoo! I'm healed. Off they go. Do you think that as they walked to the temple, that they didn't have faith that it was Jesus who healed them? No, of course, they'd seen the miracle in their own body, right? But they kept it to themselves. They went and did the religious rituals and the other things that were required of them. They didn't return to thank Jesus. It was a private faith. The other option, of course, is to return and to give thanks. And the word, the Greek word behind this word translated give thanks is eucharisteo, to give thanks. Sound familiar? Yes. What's it sound like, Sally?
Eucharist.
We come to Holy Communion. We call it the Eucharist, the great thanksgiving. And here is the man who is a Samaritan who has been healed. And he does not keep his faith to himself. He breaks the taboo about speaking about what God has done in his life. And he comes back and he loudly praises God and he falls at his feet before Jesus and he says, "Thank you. Thank you. You have healed me. You have saved me. You have reconnected me with community. You've given me access again to God." And as people of God who know that we have been forgiven and healed by Jesus, we can name the work of God in the person of Jesus. And I believe that this is actually a really powerful thing in our Christian life, to give thanks. And we're actually going to engage in some practical thanksgiving a little bit later on in the service. To say, God is at work here, and he's at work in my life through Jesus. Now, this is a vulnerable thing to do because we know that in our society, people will kind of jump on you for expressing that your faith is actually in Jesus. And particularly when you say the name of Jesus in relation to what God has done for you, that's the big taboo, right? People are happy to hear about all sorts of spiritual experiences and stuff, but as soon as you name Jesus, you're likely to get a kickback. And yet, I think that this practice of giving thanks, of recognizing and naming what God has done in our lives, God forgave me. God healed my family member. God provided a job for me, and it was because, I believe that it was because we prayed in Jesus' name for God's will to be done. Whatever the thing might be that you are thankful for, naming that thing actually opens our eyes to the presence of Jesus and the work of God in our lives. We can go along day to day, very much like the 9 lepers who didn't return to give thanks to Jesus. We know in ourselves that this was Jesus who did this. And yet, when we name it, when we speak it, when we give thanks for it, when we take part in Eucharisteo, then our eyes are opened and we see the work of God much more powerfully in our life. Private faith and public thanksgiving. There's only one man of the 10 who has leprosy, of whom Jesus said, "You have been saved." Not just healed and cleansed, but saved, made whole with God and whole with people, and drawn into a new life with God. And that was the one who came back and gave thanks. Asking for help, pretty countercultural. And yet, when we recognize that we are beggars before God, that we are poor in spirit, we can't buy our way to God, we need his forgiveness, then we can come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And giving thanks, not keeping it private, but actually sharing the good news and the good work of God in our life. And as we do that, Jesus says to us, "Rise and go, your faith has saved you." Not just for heaven, but for relationships with God and others now. Rise and go, your faith has saved you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, there are so many good things in our lives that I know I don't give thanks to you for often enough, and that I don't do that as publicly as I would like to. I pray that your Holy Spirit would so work in our hearts through the good news of what you have done for us in restoring us to a relationship with God and with other people, that we would be willing to give thanks and to publicly name what you have done. I pray in your name. Amen.